But essentially, what Hitler played on is the idea of purity of a certain group of people. And as you know, Christians, when the group grew out of Palestine, the idea of we are a different nation, we are pure, you know, we should purify ourselves. Huwag tayong makisama sa mga pagans. That's the battle cry at first. And then eventually sa mga sinners, kung hindi ka Christian, you're a sinner. And so the Nazism played on that Christian ideals of purity as one people. And then Nazism trumpeted the idea that, look, you know what? We like that. We like that. And how do we purify ourselves? What's the practical benefit of purifying ourselves, and how does it look like? That's essentially the question. For Nazism, it's not just spiritual purity, you know? So they now harp on the idea of, oh well, we are actually a pure race, a pure people. And then now you started the ridiculous idea of you have to have this size, this height, you know, blonde hair, and all those things that the Nazis, you know, espoused, actually can be rooted on that playing on the idea of you must be different. You, as Christians, you must be different from the others. And so Hitler played on to that Christian's desire to be pure and different.
That was the voice of Pastor Marfil Santiago. Pastor Marfil is currently pursuing his PhD degree in New Testament and Systematic Theology at the Adventist International Institute of Advanced Studies. Siya yung guest natin for this episode. What's up, mga kakwentuhan? Welcome back to another episode of the Stories ETC podcast. This is Ford, one of your hosts, and we are continuing on our Season 6 Christians and the Elections, where we discuss the interplay of Christians as people and our involvement with the socio-political issues of the nation. How do we engage? Papaano nga ba natin makikita yung balance of desiring good for the nation, but at the same time still pledging our allegiance to God? Yan. So in this episode, we talk about how should we vote. Kasi last time, in episode 1, pinag-usapan natin ang why we should vote. And it essentially just boiled down to the accountability and stewardship, our civic responsibility bilang mga Christians. So ngayon, we'll go back in time to discover how Christians responded to the gigantic socio-political issues of their day. Namely, the Nazi period in the 1940s, and 1860s American slavery. And then we'll extrapolate all of those into creating guidelines on how we can use those things, those experiences of Christians who came before us in voting for the right leader today. The episodes air live every Sunday at 8 p.m. at PG Bay Area on Facebook. So if you want to join the discussions, tara, mga kakwentuhan.
Our guest for today is a church planter. And siya sa ngayon, if I'm not mistaken, ay naka-assign sa Santa Rosa, Laguna, Nuvali specifically. And he works there as a church planter. But he has an interesting backstory. It's
okay.
If you hear his story, if you hear his background, you're like, "Oh wow, from parang I'd say it's a 180 degree from where he was to where he is right now, to what he went through and to what he is experiencing right now."
Right.
So,
right.
He's a UP graduate, linguistic, with a bachelor's degree in linguistics, and he has been working as a if I'm not mistaken, as a teacher, but he will introduce himself more in detail after I'm done. And I'd like you to welcome on this podcast Pastor Marfil Santiago. Hello, Pastor Marfil. Welcome.
Hello, good evening to everyone. Hi, Ford, and hi, Vaughn. Good evening to all the viewers here. And, well, thank you for having me tonight. This is going to be a very feisty but special.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So how are you doing, Pastor? How are you doing this evening?
Yes, doing well. It's a Sunday. It's the beginning of the week. And, you know, for students like us, it's one day of the week, aside from Saturday, of course, where you could kind of, okay, it's Sunday. I don't need to work that much on your studies. So, yeah, it's a good day for us. And also, by the way, so si yung kasama nyo kanina and also Juan, I'm also here in Silang, actually.
Yeah, oo nga eh. Marami kayong taga South ngayon, oo.
Inanood from South. Bay Area.
Yeah.
So Pastor, tell us a bit about yourself for the sake of our viewers, a bit of your background and what makes you, about your story to where you came from and to where you are right now.
Probably in relation to our topic tonight, I'll share something about myself. So I, as Vaughn has mentioned, I finished my bachelor's in UP Diliman, linguistics, and thereafter I started teaching. But you know, when Filipinos, when you hear about UP Diliman, you think about activists. I did join, you know, in college. I joined several rallies against the administration at that time, not because I was really against that, but because I was curious. I think in the first two occasions, and then after college I started teaching in the university, and I became, as I shared to Ford and when I became an atheist while I was teaching in the university, and thereafter I drifted away from my faith, you know, from the Christian faith, in not just my particular faith, but from the Christian faith
in general. Yeah.
And then when there was a turnaround in 2000, specifically 2013, I said to myself, I'm gonna be a Christian, but I want to be more than a Christian, you know. C.S. Lewis wrote about mere Christianity, and for me, I didn't want to be just a mere Christian, and for me that meant I would want to be a pastor. And so I went to school, and now I'm pastoring. I've pastored several churches, and now I'm finishing my doctoral studies in New Testament. So in relation to election, my experience, I would say, is for two occasions, I have helped speech write political speeches for two different political figures in the past. And you can ask my wife. My dream at that time, my dream, Vaughn and Ford, my dream was to become a senator. I didn't want to be a president.
Wow.
My dream is just to become a senator, because for
a legislator,
me,
yeah.
So that's just the background. And then the Lord called me, and now I'm working for Him, and hopefully we'll do so for the rest of my life, like Coach Vaughn.
Wow. Yeah. from becoming from dreaming to be a senator of the country, Pastor Marfil became an ambassador for the heavenly kingdom. That's something else, bro. That's something else. And just wow, because para sa mga kakwentuhan, I met Pastor Marfil, I think, back in 2017 through a mutual friend. And my friend told me, join us, because that's when I was introduced also to the small group back then, if I'm not mistaken, of the Nuvali Worship Circle. And my friend told me, you can learn a lot from this guy. This guy is very enthusiastic in what he does. He loves history. And when I heard him speak, bilib talaga ako mga kakuntuhan na there's a lot I can learn from him, and I know there's a lot you can learn this evening from him too. Kasi hindi basta-basta yung guest natin ngayong gabi.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting background, and sana, my prayer is, we'll all learn something tonight na pwede natin i-apply sa buhay natin bilang isang Kristiyano at isang citizen of this country of the Philippines.
Amen. Ganda nun. Yes. Kayo mga kwentuhan, kumusta kayo? I've been seeing good evenings. Yes, no? Nakita, oh, sorry, wait. Nakita, meron na si... Ayaw gumana ng aking mouse, ah. Oops. Wait lang, hold on. Wait lang. Ayan. Wait lang. Ayan, I've been seeing comments from Lorraine. Si Lorraine ay andyan na rin. And... Ayan, no? Si Lorraine and si Papa Von Tronchin or Mama.
I think both.
Na nagka-comment. I think both. Ayan
sila para.
Okay, so yun ay parents si Coach Jess. Kikita natin din si Lorraine. Hello, Lorraine. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. Nakakwentuhan, share nyo naman itong stream na ito for so that we can get the discussions going there, no? Ako personally, I can testify na I've learned a lot sa mga podcasts and initiatives ng ibang groups, and I learn a lot from their meeting. Them is currently doing something else. She's preoccupied with something kasi medyo busy si ate mo, si ating studentista. Them, sagutin mo si Lorraine, namimiss ka ni Lorraine. So siya, busy siya ngayon, so sabi niya he'll be skipping an episode naman. Pero he'll be back. She'll be back next week for the episode 3. Pero basically yun guys. Share nyo to. Share nyo itong stream na ito. Kasi so that we can get the discussions going there. The questions asked, diba? Share nyo. Sige. If you guys are also, fond of the podcast, the audio version, these episodes are uploaded to the Spotify every Monday. So bukas ma-upload to. So you can check it out there. It's Source ETC pa rin on Spotify and Google Podcasts and other places. Tapos yeah, like this page if you want more of this content, more of this wow, content creator. I mean, like more of this, like with what we're talking about and quotes and stuff like that. Ford, habang tumatagal, pakyut ka ng pakyut. Naku, wala akong pera ngayon, Asher James. Joke lang. Wow, thank you, no? Para kang si Coach Jorel mag-comment, ano? Puro kasinungalingan. Joke lang. Pero yeah, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in, Asher James. Pero, I want to start, Coach Jess and Pastor Marfield. The discussion. So, ang goal natin for tonight is to simply help both ourselves and our kakwentuhans on how exactly should we vote? Di ba? Parang, when looking for a president or a leader in general, do we vote for someone, I mean, as Christians, do we vote for someone who has Christian values? Diba? Do we vote or do we vote for someone who can make the country great kahit na wala siyang Christian values? Yun yung mga things in our minds that, alam mo yun, that makes sense. So, ngayon, to answer that, we want to backtrack a bit in history. Yes, in history, and see through the narrative lenses papaano nag-react yung Christians noon in major political events of their time. And we'll go through dalawang major political events. One is during the Nazi period, and two, yung involvement ng Adventists, specifically sa abolition ng slavery, sa temperance movement sa time nila, sa American times. Okay. So when we talk about Nazis, when we talk about papa shout out daw si si Francis and si Pink. Yeah, these are my good friends, best friends, classmates. Yeah, shout out sa inyo, Pink and Francis. Hello, thank you for watching. And wala lang, I just had to get it out of the way. Yes, as I was saying, when we talk about Nazism and the Nazi period, one person comes into mind, and that's always Hitler, di ba? And basically, when we say Nazism, ito mga kakwentuhan yung political ideology ni Hitler, okay? Political ideology na nagmula kay Hitler, to give a summary, na far right. Ibig sabihin, the values that they stand for in Nazism is siding more to the state. Okay? So, it's always state welfare muna, state affairs, bago yung individual welfare mo. Okay? So, Nazism, mga kakwentuhan, is a form of fascism. It's an ideology din. It's a political ideology na it prioritizes state affairs over individual welfare. Basta ganon. So, Nazism rose in Germany during the 1930s. And it appealed, okay, to German nationalism. It appealed. Kasi, we can remember na Germany was defeated during World War I. So, parang they, sobra silang downtrodden, downcast, di nila alam. I mean, talagang napahiya sila. And they were paying huge reparations for the war. So, may hirap yung mga tao. Ganun. So, pumasok si Hitler ngayon and the Nazi ideology, promising progress, promising a unification again of Germany, promising a unified and a better version of Germany. And ginawa niya to sa pamamagitan ng pagpasok ng kanyang ideology of Nazism. Which, dahil it, kumbaga, it prioritizes the good of the state first, the common good, before the individual good. Okay? So, Nazism is very anti-liberal, anti-liberalism, anti-democratic in a way, and isa sa mga pinaka-important ay ito ay very anti-Semitic, anti-Jews. No, sinabi natin anti-Semitic, anti-Jews. So, yung Nazism, kumbaga, appeals to extreme nationalism, national pride. Talagang, it gets your nationalistic pride going. Pero, at the expense of a lot of things. At ang gusto nating balikan dito, mga kwentuhan, is how Christians, mga Kristiyano, mga German Christians, nung panahon na yon, reacted with the Nazi ideology. Okay? And we can see that in how the church, both Protestant and Catholic churches, got involved with the Nazi ideology. Siguro, as we discuss, we can get the insights of both Coach Jess and the Pastor Marfield dito. Pero, it's basically, nung time na nagra-rise ang Nazism, both parehong Protestant and Catholic churches were dipping their feet in a way for the Nazi party. Hindi sila, alam mo yung totally oops, neutral or totally like whatnot, pero they were very much involved in what's happening for better and for worse. Kasi, mind you, the Nazi ideology, yung paniniwala ni Hitler and all that there is, have been endorsed by some Protestant churches. And basically, what Hitler did was to use religion as an instrument to garner support, to gain support for his ideologies. And we'll go through the interplay later ng church, ng Christians, and ng elections. Pero basically, yun, pag sinabi nating Nazism, this is Hitler's far-right ideology na anti-communist, anti-liberal, anti-democratic, and anti-Jews. So, ang nangyayari, you're being more nationalistic more than caring for the individual rights. Okay? More nationalistic versus caring for the individuals. Sige, Pastor Marfield, you're about to add something.
Yeah. I like what you mentioned about the response of the of the Christian churches, or let's just call them in general, you know. Of course, you know, when you look at the history, you will see how the Protestant churches reacted this way, the Catholic church reacted this way. But essentially, what Hitler played on is the idea that of purity of a certain group of people. And as you know, Christians, you know, when the group grew out of Palestine from Paul and first century, second century, the idea of we are a different nation, we are pure, you know, we should purify ourselves, you know, wag tayong makisama sa mga pagans, that's the battle cry at first, and then eventually sa mga sinners, kung hindi ka Christian, you're a sinner. And so the Nazism played on that Christian ideals of purity as one people, and then Nazism trumpeted the idea that, look, you know what, we like that, and how do we purify ourselves? What's the practical benefit of purifying ourselves, and how does it look like? That's essentially the question for Nazism. It's not just spiritual purity, you know. So they now harp on the idea of, oh well, we are actually a pure race, a pure people, and then now you started the, you know, the ridiculous idea of you have to have this size, this height, you know, blonde hair, and all those things that the Nazis, you know, espoused can be rooted on that, playing on the idea of you must be different. As Christians, you must be different from the others. And so Hitler played on to that Christian's desire to be pure and different. And so that's very clever, but at the same time, we understand that's very dangerous.
And what fascinates me here more, Pastor, is how quickly the Christians latched on to this idea of, oh, nga, no? We are indeed desiring for purity. And then, alam mo, sadly, Pastor, that's how we, ano mo yun, we sound ngayon, eh, Adventists in specific, we cry about peculiarity without knowing much about what it actually means to be peculiar from the world. We simply wanted to be weird. We simply wanted to be different. Di ba? So in whatever way possible, we become peculiar. Yeah. Yes, you are peculiar, but not in a way that promotes Christ. Pero anyway, it's fascinating how Christians latched onto this idea of purity and peculiarity, and how the Nazis capitalized on that. They exploited that desire and might I say weakness for that, no? So yun yung makakwentuhan. Nazis and Hitler gained ground quickly, gained support quickly from churches, from both the Catholic and the Protestant churches. We can remember na in Germany, dito galing si Martin Luther, di ba? So after the Reformation, mas maraming Protestant churches dito. So parang national pride ng Germany yung Protestantism, di ba? So Protestant churches were endorsing the Nazi Party. Even some of the members of their clergy, pati rin sa Catholic, were members of the party. So gusto kong maintindihan nyo ngayon, guys, na when we talk about history, nakakatakot yung nangyari ng World War II at nangyari kay Hitler, di ba? Nakakatakot yun. Pero I want you guys to understand that during the rise of Hitler to power, churches supported him. I want you guys to understand that churches supported Hitler. Okay? The Protestant churches supported Hitler. Yes, Coach Jess, you were gonna add something.
Oh, no, I'm still listening.
Okay. I thought you were like doing, anyway, like, sige, Pastor Marfil.
Let me give a side comment on that. And if you want a better lecture on what I am about to say, I will invite you to visit the Aya Seminary Facebook page. On last Thursday, Dr. Mueller gave us a professorial lecture. The title is Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, and the narrative of the not superhero like Marvel and hero worship or something like that. And you will understand he traced the history of that, but you will understand in that lecture, Christianity Christianity became so entrenched and so fascinated with the idea of the hero worship. Like Moses becomes a hero, and so he's the leader. He is the embodiment of Israel. And then, of course, I'm being very simplistic, right? And then it translated into the political powers that we, even as a people, we look at royalties, you know, monarchs as God's, you know, instituted leaders, right? And so we just subscribe to that idea. And we subscribe to the idea that there is one person who embodies who we are, kind of like the superhuman, the super Filipino. Who is the best Filipino? He must be. Every ideal of a Filipino, like mabait, hospitable, if you put that into one person, let's say si Von Yon, then Von must be the leader. Professor Miller was saying, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. The biblical is, Moses is not a hero. You know, Peter is not a hero. Paul is not. God, in all of Israel's history, even when David was alive, Moses was not the hero. Solomon wasn't the hero. It's still God who plays on these people. And so now he's talking, it's a critic on what you're about to say, or what you were saying about the Christian supporting Hitler. Why would they support such a person? Because of the Christianity's, at that time at least, ideas of one person embodying an ideal man, an ideal church member, and whatnot, right? And so now, until now, we, even in our elections now, just to give a little segue on that, in the Philippines, you understand that Von and Ford, you understand, for many years now, the Philippine political scene is always personality-based. It's always this person against this person. This person is better because of the qualifications. This better is better because of the background or track record, or whatever. It's not about this group of people, you know, this group of people doing this, because ultimately it's not just one person. And that's what that lecture is all about. And if we can escape from the idea that there is one person who can save us, who can give us hope, if there's one person, then we can live a better life as Christians, but also as citizens. And we will not be entrapped the way the way German Christians were entrapped into the Nazi ideology.
There's just so much to unpack there. There's just so many good things to unpack there. First, you mentioned that we have this kind of like a superhero complex within the church, that we always look for an embodiment, the ultimate representative of us as a group of people. And it's crazy how this was the exact loophole the Nazis found and exploited on when they correct. Found support for the church. What was the lecture, Pastor Marfield, that when they want to listen further?
It's Tolstoy, a critic on Tolstoy and Dostoevsky's. So I forgot the exact title, but it's a professorial lecture that was live streamed on Thursday night, and it's open for everyone. You know, and okay. it's there. You know, they can watch the lecture there. Very, very good lecture.
Okay, I see. Sige, so you can check it out though there, guys. Aya Seminary, tama, Pastor Marfil?
Yeah, Aya Seminary. Aya Seminary. Coach Von is from the Aya Seminary as well.
Yes, mga ano to. Mga academics, yes.
alumnus.
Mga intellectuals, yes.
I suggest you really watch it, you know, kasi he also... at the beginning, he also talked about the Ukraine-Russian crisis, and he gave a very kind of alternative view on what's going on there.
Okay,
that's so nice. I'll not say what, just watch the lecture.
Yeah, we'll definitely do. Yan guys, mga if kwentuhan kung yeah, nasa Aya Seminary Facebook page though, if I'll definitely take a look into that. Pero yeah. So ayun mga kwentuhan, as it were, essentially what happened during World War II was that etong may pumapasok na bagong ideology, which we've termed Nazism and Hitler. And then as Pastor Marfil has pointed out, we as a group of Christian people, we have quickly latched on to that. We have quickly supported and endorsed the ideology. So the next question, mga kakwentuhan, ay ito. Anong naging reaction nila? Anong naging reaction natin nung nagsimula ng gumawa ng atrocities si Hitler? Ito na pumapasok na. And then Hitler started to do crazy, outrageous things in humanity, to humanity. Isang example ay yung sinimulan na niya yung aresto ng Hudyo. Bakit? Hindi lang ng Hudyo, no? Nang napakarami pang group of people. Like, for example, the LGBT, o hindi pa LGBT yung tawag noon, pero in LGBT and other members of the of a religion. At sobrang dami pang people na he was doing this to purify the German race. Kumbaga, tanggalin yung mga impurities. He was doing that to purify the German race. So ang tanong natin, how did the Christians respond to this? How did churches respond to this? Yung iba were very lenient. Yung iba, yung ibang churches, get this guys, other churches were lenient about what's happening, about the killings, about the genocide, about the violence, about the arrest. Kasi ang nangyari noon nung World War II, Coach Jess and Pastor Marfil, meron kang kaibigang Hudyo. And then you would have to report nasan yung kaibigang Hudyo mo na yun to the state. And if you don't, you will be part of the arrested. So you would have to report, you would have to reveal kung nasaan. Kasi ganun nakaka-quickly nang nangyayari. And how the church responded to this really can give us a lesson into how we can respond as a church in socio-political situations. Of course, one of the, again, nung sinasabi ko, one group of churches, a certain group of Christians, we're simply lenient with what's happening. Parang, passive lang sila with what's happening. Parang, okay. May pinapatay. Maybe they're scared siguro kung if they'll speak up, or maybe they're kumbaga tumatanaw ng utang na loob kay Hitler because maybe they're members of this of the Nazi party as well. Pero what I want to sige coach Pastor Marfil, before I jump onto that point.
Maybe Von is about to say something first.
Yeah, I was just thinking para mas may context yung mga listeners natin. Ano. I'm not sure if it was mentioned a while back, but for the sake of this discussion, I'll mention it pa rin. Pag sinasabing gusto nila i-purify yung nation nila, it goes back to their interpretation and understanding of scripture.
Mm-mm. Wow,
and,
okay.
If we look at the Bible and how they justify it, it's understandable kung bakit nila ginawa yun. Understandable, pero don't get me wrong, I'm not agreeing at all sa social national socialism nila and as to why they persecuted the Jews. But where they were coming from was understandable because how they viewed the Jews, at kaya sinasabi nila na kailangan natin i-purify because they looked at the Jews as the murderer of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
For that fact alone, regardless kung involved directly ang tao o hindi, for the fact that Jew yung tao, you will carry the sins of your fathers, and that's why we're persecuting you. Kasi kayong dahilan eh. So, bale, you could say it was the Nazi version of the Crusaders, parang ganun. In my own words, they went after the Jews because they viewed the Jews as the source, as the reason why Christ died.
Right.
And coming from that perspective, it's understandable. The problem is, mali nga lang yung interpretation and understanding nila, which is not even entirely biblically founded, because nowhere in the Bible does it say, oh, persecute the Jews because they killed Jesus. But from that perspective, we understand that they thought they were doing the right thing, and maybe that's why they had a hard time to not report if they know someone as a Jew or if it's their friend, because they think, if I keep this person, if I hide this person, I am sinning against maybe God, against the person whom he has put into leadership. So I cannot speak for those Germans back then. And there probably are different reasons why they did what they did, or had a hard time doing what was right. Excuse me, Pastor, you were saying?
Why they supported Nazism.
Excuse me? Sorry.
Yeah, why they supported Nazism, I was saying.
Yeah, exactly. Why they supported Nazism. So various reasons they probably had various reasons.
Mm-mm.
And it's hard to comprehend kasi wala tayo dun sa sitwasyon eh.
Yeah.
But they had different reactions, Pastor.
I like what you just discussed, you know? It's the way they understand their scriptures and the way they view the Jews. And now let me take that opportunity to plug the importance of having right theology. Sometimes in modern Christianity, these people start to disdain theology, and they just want to preach about, oh, let's not talk about theology or doctrines. Let's just talk about the common things. Let's just talk about things that will not divide us and all that stuff, right? And that's good and all, but sometimes people think that wrong theology doesn't affect anybody else but you yourself and your salvation, but that's not true. We see this in World War II in Germany. They had the wrong view of the Judaism. They had the wrong view of God. They have a wrong theology, misled by centuries of anti-Semite sentiments of the church itself, both in the Protestant church and also in the Catholic church. And that wrong theology, imagine, people thought that, you know, it's not gonna harm anybody. If I believe that Jesus is not God, for example, just an example, if I believe that Jesus is just a person, it's not gonna harm anybody, so that's fine. Well, you just need to look at what happened in Nazi Germany. People had the wrong theology, and because of that, it translated into a national policy that actually affected millions of lives. And let me ask you, isn't that what happened in the Philippines? There was a senator who had a wrong view of capital punishment. I'm not gonna cite which one, but the idea is this. He was promoting capital punishment, and he was supporting the idea of, you know, executing people. And he was saying it's because God executed people. So you see, if you have a wrong theology, that's why theology is also important, because if the people will espouse a wrong theology, eventually that will lead to something more serious. There's nothing more serious than salvation, of course, right? But what I mean is something that is more present, something that is more the here and the now. And so that's the importance of having right theology as well. That's the importance of why we go to church and why we discuss things like now. You know, when we discuss things like this, when people ask, why are you discussing that? No, it's because we want to create little by little, you know, a better understanding of who God is and Christianity in all aspects of life.
And that's a wonderful thing. Those are wonderful things you guys have just said. Now, we have to have a proper approach. Yeah. I was about to say, diba? A proper approach to theology. Most I read one a quote, Pastor Marfield, by Arise, by Ty Gibson. It's in the North American division. Mm-hmm. Sabi nung quote, the atheist backlash to religion is legitimate. Sabi ganun. Yeah. Parang, there is legitimacy in the atheist backlash to religion. Kasi sabi nila, maybe the God that they hate is also the God that you hate. Diba? Yeah. Who wants a tyrannical God? Who wants a coercive God? So maybe it makes sense. Parang ganun. Pero the point is, we have to get it this right. Kasi, alam mo yun, as Christians, we have to have a solid and proper understanding of the image of God. Kasi, tulad nga nung minention mo, if you say that this is not important, just take a look at what happened in World War II. Yun yung pinanggalingan, di ba? Yun yung pinanggalingan. So, Pastor, for our viewers ngayon, mga kwentuhan, may comment si Lorraine. Maybe you can sum it up. Sabi nung comment niya, same question, why did they support it? So maybe you can wrap up a bit sa comment mo on how did the churches, both Protestant and Catholics, supported the regime.
Yeah, because of course this is a summary of what we can learn from that. But I think first they were duped.
Naloko.
Natin ngayon. Na scam sila ni Hitler ng Nazi. Because at the beginning of diniscuss ni Ford kanina. At the beginning they were really, you know, promoting the benefit of New Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
After their loss in World War One and yeah, you know, the Weimar Republic. So they were, as Christians, but also remember, they're not just Christians, they were also Germans. Mm-hmm. Germans who were poor, Germans who became so poverty stricken after World War II, after mm-hmm. World War One. So let's take that into context as well, right? Like, oh, you know, Christians on the wrong side of history. No, not hold your horses, sabi nga nila. Because eventually, as you would realize that they did, you know, they did opposed Hitler and Nazism in the end. But the reason why they support is, number one, they were not aware of what they believed. So they were caught into this, what Coach Vaughn was talking about, into this anti-Semitist aura of the entire nation. So they had the wrong theology. And so when this new ideology of Nazism came into picture and they said, yeah, you know, we can be purified, we can be this and that. And so they were like, yeah, okay, no problem. And then they're promoting not only Christianity, they're promoting me as a German citizen.
Mm,
they're going to, you know, they're going to introduce jobs, employment, and development, infrastructures. I like that. Nobody would oppose that.
Mm.
So remember, they're supporting Nazism not only because they are Christians, so that's a little bit unfair if we say it, but also because they were Germans and they were, you know, desirous of a new society, a better society. And that's why I said they were duped. And so Hitler used their Christianity. Hitler used their being Germans as well, right? And eventually, when things were happening already, parang nakatali na yung mga kamay nila. Yung parang, ano ba yung term natin? Napasubo na sila. No?
Napasubo na kasi they had nowhere to go. It's all in.
Yeah, nahirapan na silang. Even though 1935, you had the confessing churches. Ibig sabihin, may mga, both the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church issued statements against, you know, Nazism.
Mm-mm.
But when the actual atrocities happened, they were silent. There were individual protests. But as a church, as an institution, they were silent at the beginning of the first few years of Nazism. So that's to give a little bit of fairness to why did they support Hitler. So my answer is, well, they didn't know much of their theology. Number two, they were duped talaga. And number three, remember, they were supporting Nazism not only because they were Christians, but also because they were Germans.
That's true. So, and hopefully that answered your question, Lorraine. Why did they support Hitler? Why did the churches support Hitler? Yun. Simply because they were duped. Nascam sila ni Hitler, guys. Nascam sila. And they were, I mean, they did not have a proper understanding of, alam mo yun, how things should be. Sabi niya, marami ding ganyan ngayon. Sa true lang, no? Sa true lang talaga.
Sa totoo lang, history tends to repeat itself talaga.
Diba?
Kaya, it's not a surprise.
And Lorraine, that's exactly why we are having this conversation. It's for us to know na, sandali lang, papaano ba sila nag-react noon? Because maybe that can give me an insight on how I should react today. Diba? It's important to know our roots as a Christian, as a collective group of people, and then extrapolate from that, infer from that, conclude, kumbaga, from that, how then should I react ngayon in an election time pa din? Diba? That was election time eh, sila eh. Germans eh. So, how should I react ngayon? Hindi ba nadadaya rin ako? Hindi kayo nasa scam din ako ng mga pinagsasabi ng mga politiko? So, you have to They're propagandas, diba? So, you have to be, paano ba? Truthful and faithful in choosing the leader. Kaya nga merong episode na to. Diba? Kaya may episode na to. So, yun. But that's basically. At this point, Pastor Marfil,
but
and,
let's be
fair. Yeah, go ahead.
Before we leave, let's be fair sa Christians naman din, ano? Hitler arrested more than 700 Protestant pastors and confiscated documents from the Catholic Church when eventually they opposed him, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, just to be fair to the Christians, you know, Christopher Hitchens, you know, the new atheism triumvirate, right?
Yeah,
you know, those guys, Samuel Harris and that biologist, I forgot his name, not very important naman. They were always attacking Christianity, that we support genocide and Hitler is a Christian and this. That's not true. That's too simplistic of an analysis of history. That's not true. Christianity always, of course, are always caught in between the devil and the deep blue sea, sabi nga nila, di ba? Because as Germans, you want to support your nation, but then as Christians,
exactly. Exactly, so, di ba?
So, but in the end, this is what I want to say. I believe that in the end, the Holy Spirit worked in the Christianity as a whole. I'm not talking about one church in Germany, but Christianity as a whole. That they were convicted that this is not right. And so they opposed Hitler and many of them were arrested. The churches were closed. The services were controlled by Nazi Germany. Documents were confiscated. And so they suffered eventually. You know, they were also persecuted. And then Hitler wanted a kind of like a state-sanctioned Christianity or something.
They
didn't like that. So yeah, so just to be fair to those people, yeah, Christianity, they were caught in that dilemma, but at the same time, many of them stood against it and even gave up their lives against that. Diba, Ford?
That's a good jump off point, Pastor Marfil, as we as we go into point two. Now, there is a huge there's a very important figure that we have to talk about in this entire Nazi conversation, and that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a German pastor, a Lutheran pastor. If not mistaken, schooled siya under the Lutheran theology. That who was very, very anti-Hitler, anti-Nazi when things started to take shape, no? And Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, isipin nyo ito guys ha, Lutheran Church pastor ka, isa kang German, isa kang, and your contemporaries are members of the Nazi Party. So, the moment you say something against Hitler, you'll be arrested. So, what do you do? What did Dietrich Bonhoeffer do? Ayan. Maybe Pastor Marfil can give us a primer on that.
Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, and he was not just a pastor, he was an intellectual, an intellectual giant even, you know. He was a theologian, but also a very intelligent man. And his family also, members of the family, every time they will have a a meal or a dinner. I don't know if that happens to Pastor Vaughn, kasi nakita ko yung parang mami niya nag-comment dito. That's very good. But I think it's kind of like the same, you know, with Dietrich Bonhoeffer's, whenever they have a meal as a family, it sabi niya, it felt like a symposium, an academic symposium, because they will discuss issues in at that time, issues in biology. They have a biologist in the family, and then a theologian, and then a lawyer. So he came from a very intellectual family, but also that means that the intellectuals, they were highly favored by the Nazi party. They were wooed by the Nazi party. They were given favors, but despite all of the benefits that he could get, eventually Dietrich Bonhoeffer, being a Christian, he realized that what's happening wasn't right. And he had to stand against it. You know, he had to stand against Hitler, and he had to, well, he became an extremist in that sense, because he was part of a plot, of one July 20 plot to kill Hitler. And the reason why I laugh is because that's my birthday, July 20. And being a pastor myself, you know, I don't see myself in that extreme, you know, like plotting a murder against a tyrant, let's just say, right? But yeah, anyway, so that's what happened to him. But he wrote important materials against Nazism. And eventually, he is the one who praised Christianity, because at the end of the day, the intelligentsia in Germany fell for Hitler and supported Hitler almost all the way. The institutions, the universities. But the church eventually stood their ground against it. So in that sense, he kind of saw the virtue and the value of being a Christian, and to which he wrote one of Ford's favorite books in Discipleship.
Yeah, that's the cost of discipleship, no?
That's the cost of discipleship. And for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, what was the cost? Death. And you know, it was a very sad death. You know why? Because he was incarcerated for a year and a half, and then 4 months, I think, 4 or 3 or 6 months, something like that. Within less than half a year, he was executed. And then after 5 months or 4 months or 6 months, Germany fell into the Allied forces. So he missed by about 5 months or so.
Sayang, no? Sayang. Sayang. Hindi niya naabutan ang liberation. But I guess that's the cost. That's the cost of what he did. Diba?
Yeah.
That's the cause of what he did.
So the idea as a pastor, he became publicly a public figure, fighting not for political views, really, because he wasn't, you know, fighting, he wasn't expressing an alternative position for Nazism in Germany. He was just simply fighting the atrocities of Germany to end the war, to end the killings and all that. And I think we can kind of see how our own church or our own tradition, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, also kind of 50-70 years before Dietrich Bonhoeffer, they were already doing that. You know, they were already being responsible as with their civic duties. You know, they were being responsible citizens without being political.
Wow. That's a nice jump of point, Pastor. That 50-70 years before Bonhoeffer, so that's 1860s America. That's 1850s America. There's this certain group of people, certain group of religious people, bago pa lang yung kanilang religious group. They're called Adventists. And they played a pivotal role in the abolition of slavery. And that's the other point that we would want to talk about in tracing back how did Christians respond to the different major socio-political shifts of their time. And we have to understand this, that alam mo yun, hindi pwedeng wala kang magagawa. Ayan, mga kakwentuhan. Hindi pwedeng wala tayong magagawa as Christians in una, voting, in engaging with socio-political conversations, or in bettering the lives of our fellow. Kasi yun yung naging role natin. I mean, yun yung naging role natin as the group of people na iniwanan ni Jesus ng kanyang mission, di ba? So yun. Siguro, Pastor, we can touch a bit on the Adventist involvement on politics before we go to the kumbaga culminating point ng what do we choose? Yeah, go ahead.
Interestingly, the birth of Adventism, we were organized. Of course, the movement started way before that, 20 years before that. But we were organized on the eve of the
Civil War.
Civil War, right?
Yeah.
And so right there, you know, right there, the movement were faced with dilemmas. How are we going to react to this? On the one hand, we want to support the union. We don't want secession and all that. But on the other hand, you know, they want to support freedom and all of those things. And from the onset, you know, of the Adventist Church, we have always stand against publicly supporting political views or political issues or political figures. But as a people, as individuals, we always encourage our members, everyone else, to be responsible in their civic duties. So when there are moral issues that is being a part of the political arena, which is very complicated because now it's political, but I think we can delineate what is political, what is purely political, and what is now this is a moral issue.
Right.
This is a moral issue. And so for Adventism, it was, number one, the slavery. So yeah, this is political issue. Shall we vote for Abraham Lincoln, who is against slavery? So would that be political? If we support him, would that be a political? And they were like, no, it's not, because it's a moral duty for us. You know, the way we understand slavery, that should be abolished. That's good. And then the second important thing for them is the temperance movement. And the temperance movement is a movement that not only during that time, but it was a movement in 19th century America to restrict alcohol products. And of course, you understand more than any other group, we like that. And now there are politicians who wants to be elected in office who are opposed
to the temperance.
Temperance movement. They don't like prohibition. They like the businesses to continue producing alcoholic beverages. And so the church, you know, as a whole, they were saying, look, we are not making a political stand, but this is a moral issue, and this is an issue that will influence our people, not only our people in the church, but the citizens. And we know that wine or alcoholic beverages is not good, you know, in terms of health, in terms of spirituality, in terms of morality, of course. And so the church supported the temperance movement. We said, look, we have to support those who will work, meaning the politicians, who will work against alcoholic beverages. And the third civic issue that they faced was the suffrage movement, meaning the right to vote of women. And interestingly, Ellen White, one of our leaders, had something to say about it that is very, very profound and so much ahead of his time. You know how much ahead? 45 years ahead of his time.
Right.
Because finally, in America, the suffrage movement was passed in 1920, 5 years after she died. But in 1875, 45 years or 40 years before she died, she already said the reason that women are not allowed to vote is because we don't think about these issues. We don't discuss these issues. We not engage in the discussion. And that's very interesting. And then finally she said, this order of things must change. So number one principle in that quote, number one, she is supporting women's rights to vote, which is very unpopular during the time.
Yeah.
And that's not a political issue. That's a social, social-cultural issue. But also number two, I think, and this will help us a lot. You know what she was saying? She was saying, if you do not know anything about the issues that is being discussed, no national issues, and you don't care about those issues, and you know, you're apathetic about those issues, she was like, then you shouldn't vote. can I repeat what she said?
Go ahead. Yeah.
She said, if you're not engaging, and when I say engaging, it doesn't mean you go out in the, you know, by yourself, you are really reading up, you know, what are the issues, what does it mean for women to vote, and the temperance movement, and all those things. She was saying, if you are not engaging in the civic issues that will affect your faith, that will affect who you are, and that will affect your mission as a harbinger of the gospel, and she was suggesting maybe you shouldn't vote because you're not gonna help. You know, what will be your basis of voting if you're not engaging with issues? And so that's very important. So we have three basic principles, I think, that we can learn from Adventist history and election. Number one is, when we vote, we have to always vote for those who will uphold morality, virtue, and humanity.
Amen.
We have to vote for those who will uphold virtue, meaning, you know, good conduct, mabuting asal, you know, virtues. We have to vote for those who will uphold that and who exemplify that, of course. And we have to vote for those who will uphold morality, you know, issues on morality. And we don't need to discuss morality issues now, but I think you understand what we mean. And in the latest presidential debate, there was one issue there about civil union, about divorce, and those fall under that broad category of morality. So what I'm not suggesting one way or another, I'm just saying you have to sit down and see who among the candidates support this, and where do I stand. So that's number one. Whenever you vote, you don't vote based on name or based on kinship as a church, you know, we have to vote based on morality, virtue, and humanity. Who will uphold human rights, human issues, right? And number two, when you vote, and this is important, and let us clarify, you know, kay Coach Vaughn at saka kay Ford, what we're discussing here, we're not promoting any candidate at all. Nothing like that.
Disclaimer.
Yes, yeah. We're not promoting any candidate, okay? But what we're saying is the number two principle. And the number two principle is keep your opinion, not your opinion, but keep your preference to yourself. Meaning, do not go out in public and say it. And but in discussions, in the proper forum, when it is needed, to speak up, to educate people, and when they ask for it, then go and educate. That's the number two principle. And number three, as a church, and this is what I think early on, James White, the second president of General Conference, already espoused, do not elect people, it goes without saying, who are corrupt. And so this is not from me, this is from James White, this is from one of our founders, you know. Even in 19th century America, they were,
that's the problem,
they were plagued with corrupt politicians. And so the church never endorsed, you know, we're proud to say this, as a church, maybe as certain individuals, certain groups inside the church, maybe they did endorse one way or another, but as a church officially, we never endorsed officially any candidate, because that should be the right of individual conscience. And so that's the kind of like the summary of the stand of the Adventist Church when it comes to voting. We encourage everyone to vote. One thing I want to say, the cause of discipleship, we were talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And if you have the opportunity to die for God, to die for Jesus, then go ahead. But if you don't have that opportunity, This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in his book, The Cause of Discipleship. Then go out there and look for the welfare of other people more than yours. Because that's like dying for them as well. When you vote for a certain person, you don't vote for that person because you ask the question, what's in store for me? Anong sa akin dyan? Ano ba mapapala ko dito? Ah, wala tayong mapapala dito.
Wag na nga ito.
Ano to? Pinsan to ng ninong mo sa tatay mo sa doon sa probinsyang ganito na ang layo-layo na, no? Pero hindi, boto mo yan kasi ganito yan. Baka makalapit tayo dyan. No, you don't do that. That's not being a disciple of Christ. When you are a disciple of Christ, Bonhoeffer said, if you have the opportunity to die for Christ, go ahead. But if you don't, the least that you can do is to think of the welfare of others, not your own, even during election time.
Ang galing, no? Babalik tayo sa last episode kasi yun talaga yung where it falls back to, eh. The simple understanding of stewardship, it's not something selfish, it's selfless.
Ang galing, no? Na kahit na paano natin pagbalibalik ta rin yung discussion tungkol dito bilang Christians, uuwi lang talaga in how we should look for the welfare of others, just as how Jesus looked for the welfare of others, just as how Jesus has a very, very rabidly other-centered love. Ganun katindi yung other-centered love ni Jesus. And as people under him, that's how we should be as well, other-centered, diba? So yun yung nabanggit ni Pastor Marfil na some principles on voting that we can look back, that we can learn from our looking back into the Nazi period and the Adventist involvement with early American socio-political issues. Ano yun? One, we have to, I'll put it in the comments. Number one, we have to vote. Nawala ah. Saan yun? Ano yan? Sayan natin. We have to vote. Ano ba yan? Hindi ko makita dito.
We have to vote those who will uphold values and morality.
Go ahead, coach.
And then, yun, pangalawa, so ulitin ko lang, number one. We have to vote those who will uphold values and morality. Pangalawa, keep your preferences to yourself but discuss in proper channels and forums. Pangatlo, do not elect people who are corrupt.
So, sinabi ni James White.
Sinabi ni James White.
Yeah.
So we can, I think, go to the last point. In considering the question how, we looked at various historical situations na actually just one out of many. One major historical event from which we can learn from. And we learned how right theology is important. But right theology starts with Christ. Right theology starts with the Word and the Word, with Jesus Christ and the Bible. And that's where we all should go to in answering the how. And na-discuss na, you know, to go very quickly, we've had learnings, we have discussed the principles on how we can apply that as we vote. And it falls all down to the Word, to Jesus Christ. Siya, I think, is the only and best example that we can have from the Bible concerning leadership. No one is like Christ. Only He is perfect. And to conclude, there are a lot of factors, a lot of things that we could look at concerning Christ. But let me limit that to just three. Christ was truthful. He was not scared to speak out what was necessary. He valued others. We could look at for example, Zacchaeus. We could look at Mary Magdalene. And a lot of other people in the Bible whom Jesus valued. He valued a tax collector, he valued a harlot, he valued various kinds of people. And this is one of the many things that Christ had, value for others.
Mm, mm.
Going back to kanina, no, that ganun ka immense yung pagmamahal niya, that ganun ka immense yung compassion niya, that he values others, that he would look unto others, and not upon himself, not upon himself.
Mm.
And that brings us to the last, compassionate. Jesus was a truthful, a man who valued others, and a man who really loved his people. He had genuine compassion and was not condescending or insulting with those whom he interacted with whom he talked with. And so, these are the things that we can consider in the how question, kung paano ako magvote. It all falls down to going to the Word, going to Jesus. And the dilemma is basically yours, ano? The dilemma is basically yours. We're not here to tell you, okay, don't vote for this guy or this person or her or him, you know. Dilemma is yours. The dilemma is yours. And siguro, just looking a little bit back to the Adventist experience in political issues. If I'm not mistaken, if your conscience is at peace with what your decision, your choice, then probably the Holy Spirit is guiding you. But if not, gotta think twice na.
Yeah.
Think twice. Kung hindi ka na comfortable, you're gonna make a choice, you're gonna make a decision, pero in your gut, you just feel, I'm doing something wrong, and that's the time really to think twice about your choice. Parang may gustong sabihin si Pastor.
No, I just like to say, because you said the dilemma is ours, right? Individually. But maybe we could say, I was about to say, well, maybe we should say the privilege is ours, you know, the privilege of electing, of choosing.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's true. It is you a know? Privilege.
But also at the same time, we have to say it's not just a privilege like, oh, good, I can have this. Good, I can enjoy this. No, but it's also a responsibility, right? So the responsibility is ours. And maganda yung sinabi ni Von, you know, you have to pray about your decisions. You know, you have to pray. If you choose this person, and for you, he really is the closest to what you stand for as a Christian and as a Filipino, for both, right? As a Christian and as a Filipino, you truly believe that you have no other reasons aside from the reasons that Von mentioned, that that person is truthful, like Christ-like, basically, right? No one is going to be like Christ, but that's why we say Christ-like, you know? But that is going to be truthful all the time, truthful all the time. That person is going to value others all the time. And that person is always and sincerely and genuinely compassionate and not just running for power or to persist whatever they already have and influence, but really compassionate. Now, after having evaluated the candidates, whether it's national elections or in your local elections, then you pray about it. And sabi nga ni Von kanina, if you don't feel the conviction of the Spirit, maybe you should think twice. You know, maybe you should think again and evaluate again. And I think as a Christian, that's the least we can do, to think about whom we are going to vote for based on the principles of Christianity that we suggested here. And yes, it's the least you can do, but it's also a very important contribution that you can do.
That's very true. Before we land the plane and comment on that, there's a question, Pastor Marfil, by
it's a question to Von.
Yeah, it's a question.
Nasagot na copy paste ko na.
All right, sabi, would you please show me your reference, which you said that James White said that we should not vote corrupt ones. Isn't it like promoting somebody you want as your leader? Nasaan daw yon?
Ito. James White Review and Herald, March 11, 1880.
Yeah.
James White Review and Herald, March 11, 1880. Review and Herald. Okay. Hindi daw ba yun promoting somebody you want as your leader, or like is maybe the question is maybe like referring to, isn't that like campaigning for someone else?
No, because go ahead. No, go ahead.
Very simply, no. Why? Because it's a moral issue. It's too general to say we're campaigning for a specific person when it's a general moral issue. So this is a general and well agreed upon statement, I would say, na we shouldn't vote for anyone corrupt. I mean, realistically, mahirap yon.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. But that's, I guess, something that we all want, to have a leader that's not, you know, corrupt, because the people will suffer. Mm. Pastor, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, you said it very beautifully. It's not the church never endorsed a candidate. James White never endorsed a candidate. We didn't even know who he voted for in the elections that he voted. But the leaders, and I just mentioned James White, but this is not just James White. It's the leadership, you know, the pioneers. They were against. There were even those who were against voting at all. You know, there's a there's a funny pastor there, because he said, "In clear conscience, I cannot vote for a person who is corrupt." Yeah, of course, if you know that person is corrupt, in clear conscience, you shouldn't vote for that person. And then he said, "And in clear conscience, I cannot vote for a righteous person into a corrupt system." In the end he was saying then don't vote at all. Now if that's your decision, it's your decision to not vote. But the point is, if you know that the person, and if you have evidence, and if you have facts, and really evidence, you know, and it's good that you're asking for sources. I like that, you know. One thing I learned from a certain professor in my college is, an intelligent person, he said, always asks three questions. I will share this with you. And in my entire life, I always do that. He said, if you are an intelligent person, you ask these three questions. And he said, this is my professor in psychology. And he said, number one, when somebody tells you something, you ask the question, what do you mean? You don't want to react first. You want to let the person explain everything. What do you mean that this or that? And then the next question is, can you prove it? Can you prove it? Can you demonstrate it? If it's a question of science, can you demonstrate it? And then the final question, he says, always ask, what are your sources? Where did you learn that from? Is that an opinion? Is that your opinion? Is that... Maybe you have a source, but maybe the source is also an opinion of that source, right? So that's very good. Yeah, you know, that's very good that you're asking for sources, because that's what we want. You know, when you lay out, you know, whatever sources, good sources and not opinion sources, and then you say, well,
aside,
you know,
the Wikipedia.
This might be really an evidence of corruption or a history of corruption, one or another. And so you decide, will you vote? I mean, we're not saying vote for the alternative. We're not saying that. We're saying, in clear conscience, as a Christian, will you still be able to vote for that person? Because the vote for that person will validate whatever he has done.
Totoo,
and in law, by the way, you know, in law, there is that a doctrine of... being basically pronounced by the people not guilty of administrative offense. If, for example, an incumbent mayor has administrative, depending on, okay, not all, but certain, and he ran for re-election and he won again, basically the administrative offense arising from him being the previous mayor will be deleted or erased or, you know, forgotten. And so voting is very important, not only as a civic duty, but also as a legal duty. In effect, when we vote for someone in office, we are becoming judges and pronouncing that person this or that. Do you remember what Cheese Escudero, you know, he's a very important, he's an intelligent person, he's a lawyer also, he's a legislator, and his idea is, let him not be disqualified, let the people decide. And so that's the doctrine of voting. So in our hands, when we vote, we really are exculpating a person, or we are saying, yes, he should not be in office or she should not be in office. So we're not promoting the alternative candidate. That's why sabi nga natin kanina, ano, eh kung nakita mong wala kang iboto, sabi nung isang pastor natin dyan, then don't vote for that particular or that particular post, kung talagang, oh, every one of them, well, then don't vote, because you cannot vote in clear conscience for a person
who's correct. Totoo. I was about to say something. Ano nga ba yun? Nagla ko nalimutan na yun nung binatawan ni Pastor Marquille.
Oh, sorry. Padalitan kasi ako.
Ano nga sabihin ko? Basta it has something to do with, it was the democracy. Na, in a democratic republic, in a democratic nation, power emanates from the people. It's us who give the power, di ba? So we have to give importance to that power in this nation that we are. Hindi yung mga leaders natin hindi elected because they are descendants of they're within the lineage or royal lineage. For example, in kings and queens, hindi sila nandyan sa power because they're powerful in for example a dictatorial nation, but they're there because we have put them there, diba? In a democratic state, they are there because we gave them the power to be there. So mga kwentuhan, that's a very powerful thing to have, to be able to elect someone into office. So ano ibig sabihin? Let's not waste that power. Let's use that power to elect worthy officials, to elect people who will, tulad ng we have been bellowing for two episodes now, who will make the lives of our fellow humans, our fellow Filipinos, better. Diba? Buti, ikaw, kung alam mo yun, if you're under a good roof, you have like all you need, hindi ka namang problema ng kakainin mo, good for you. Pero paano yung hindi ganun? Ayun, di ba? Paano yung walang ganun? Paano yung mga taong kailangan nila ng social change para mabigyan sila ng jumpstart to change their lives? What about them? Di ba? As Christians, we should look at them. As Christians, we should give them the chance to do that. And how do that? We elect people who are truthful, valuing others, and compassionate, di ba? As Jesus is. So, ayun yun mga kakwentuhan. Ayun yun. We are landing the plane right now. So, kung may additional questions kayo, you can send them in. Kung wala naman, or like while waiting for it, maybe Pastor Marfil, a quick wrap-up of like the entire episode that we've talked about. What should their takeaway be?
I think if I'm listening well, My own takeaway, and I hope you will have this takeaway too. My own takeaway is this. As Christians, we have to participate in the electoral process. It's a privilege, sabi nga ni Vonden, it's also a dilemma, and that's true also. But it's a privilege and also a responsibility. As Christians, I think it is not only our right, but it is also our duty to elect people in office. So that's number one takeaway. Number two, when you elect people in office, you have to think about what you're doing. You have to pray for that. Let me share with you an example. My wife works for the government. This is not election, okay? This is appointing thing. So there's no election involved. There's no campaign or whatsoever. But we have been praying for about a year now. We have been always praying for the right person to be appointed in that position, a very important position in our government. We have been praying, and in my church, in NWC, at every 4 a.m., the certain leaders of the church, we wake up. Before pandemic, we meet at one place, 4 a.m. But now, we just meet virtually, and we pray. And every Friday, for about 1 year, we have been praying for the right person for President Duterte to appoint, because he's the appointing power. For him to appoint the right person and not to appoint only because of political ties and all that and all this. And eventually that came. The appointment came to this person that we are praying for. And we felt like this is the answer of God. Yes, it was President Duterte who eventually appointed that person. But we felt like, you know what? This is right. So what I'm trying to say is this. If you are concerned about your nation, as we are, as I am, you pray about what you're about to do in May. You pray for the person. If this is your selection, go ahead. Pray for that person every night. But not only pray for him, pray that God will also give you the discernment to understand certain situations. The one I was telling you about, we were praying for him to get this position. But then he didn't get that position. Instead, he get another position, which after all, we said, you know what? He's actually the best person in this position. So maybe we want that person to be, because we're close to him or her, maybe we want that person to be elected in this office. But maybe God says, no, as one nation, he will be best used for this or for that. So what I mean is, don't just vote. Don't just shout for your favorite candidates. Pray for them. And I think, and aside from those two things, you know, yung sinulat ni Von sa ano kanina, no, yung tatlong character ni Jesus Christ must be, you know, at least the person who you're voting for must be approaching that or attempting even to do that, you know, to be truthful, attempting to be truthful, attempting to be compassionate, and attempting to always value other people.
Amen. Anyway, it's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. So, ayun mga kakwentuhan, no? Simple lang. When you're, hindi rin simple, madali lang. When you're, kasi madali siya, pero hindi siya necessarily, kumbaga, easy gawin. Baliktad pala. Simple siya, pero hindi siya madaling gawin. Sabi ni Lorraine, ayun, think twice, vote twice, and pray for it. Di ba? In a nutshell, that's how it should be. Salamat, Lorraine.
Maybe
salamat,
not just Lorraine. Twice. Maybe thrice. Four
maybe
times.
Maybe four times. Yeah. Yeah. Think until the May 9th elections.
Yeah. Yes.
Di ba?
Yes.
Totoo yun. So, really, what we're, kumbaga ano to eh, this is a very important thing. This is a very pivotal thing to do as Christians. And this is how we can represent Jesus more as well in voting. How we engage, how we choose the leaders, how we engage with our fellow. And alam mo yon, we want for you guys to sama-sama tayo mag-re-evaluate ulit. Diba mag-re-evaluate? Tama ba tong choice ko? Baka merong new information. And it's okay to change given new information. Yes. It's okay. That doesn't mean you're stupid or whatnot. It simply means you're learning. It simply means you're growing. Diba? When presented with new information. Pero that's it for now. At this point, we would like to give a huge, huge thanks to Pastor Marfil for allowing us into your time. Super thank you. And sa mga kakwentuhan natin who stayed, to the 15 viewers who stayed behind, thank you so much, you guys. Thanks, Lorraine. Thank you sa parents ni Pastor, ni Coach Jess. Thank you for staying, you guys. Kung nandiyan kayo, pa-heart naman ng, ng comments. Yan, nag-heart na sila. Pero, siguro, Coach Jess, no, the viewers are still asking, pero hindi ko pa rin alam eh. Pero hindi ko pa rin alam eh. So, oo, tama yon. Mga kwentuhan, sa episodes 3 and 4, sa episodes 3 and 4, we will go through each of the top presidential candidates. Yung anim. So that's, sa episode 3, we'll go through Ping Lacson, Manny Pacquiao, and Calio D. De Guzman. We'll go through each of them. Titignan natin sila through the narrative lenses. Titignan natin sila what they stand for, papaano nila nakuha yung stances na yon, and how does that matter in their candidacy and in their presidency. sa episode 4, we'll go through Lenny, BBM, and Isko. Okay? So, kung gusto nyo ng bardagulan, pataka, joke lang, hindi pwede bardagulan. ang gagawin natin doon, we will present them. I-humanize natin sila in a light that we will both understand, that it's that's palatable for both of us, so that you guys, us in general, can decide, oh nga no, who do I resonate with? And not just that, but who can give the most benefits to the Philippines coming from the pandemic, ano mo yun, rising us up. So yun, we'll go through each of them sa episodes 3 and 4. So yun, antabayanan niyo yun, guys. And yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. And we'll see you next week. Pero sa ngayon, pinapasalamatan natin lahat. Si Pastor Marfil and our kakintuhans who stayed behind. So, with Coach Jess and Pastor Marfil, this has been Ford. And you're listening to the Stories ETC podcast.